All right, we are here. Welcome. When you are small, when you are a child, you're helpless, you're powerless. You need your parents. You need some strong adult, generally your mother, to take care of you. You don't know about the dangers of your reality. You can go running off to explore what the physical plane is like, and unaware of the dangers of the physical plane, you could just run and drop off someplace. Oh, I'm going to fly. So it's important to have a guardian to watch over you, a parent to make sure, no, don't go there. No, don't do this. Normally, they also install in you a fear of your reality, a fear of your environment. Since they can say no before they even are able to explain it to you, to share it with you, and you understand. So you kind of grow up with a certain sense of boundaries, safety boundaries. Areas that you know, the rules that you know, you don't do this because that's dangerous. When you grow up, when you become an adolescent, when you need to break free and express yourself and move into a greater network of peers and friends and society, you discover that some of these prohibitions that were filled with threats of danger were actually just ways in which your parents manipulated you, which they controlled you. They controlled you by fear. And to your horror, you discover that a lot of your behavior is controlled by fear. As an adolescent, there's a fear of humiliation, a fear of exclusion and separation from the group. Belonging is very important to an adolescent. They will absolutely sublimate their individuality and their personality and their interests so as to appear that they are one with the others, that they belong into that group, so they're not pointed out, ridiculed. There's tremendous fear there. For an adolescent, that fear is almost as deep as the fear for a child that they're going to get eaten up by some scary animal. It's almost a survival fear. How would I survive if I'm rejected by the group, if I'm kicked out? And so, again, there's a reinforcement that reality is not particularly safe, that is dependent on the leaders of your peers, those who have the fashion sense, determining what you wear, who have the political capacity that determine what you do and say, that if you run afoul of this, you could be laughed out. And no one likes that. It's painful. It actually is very wounding. It's very hurtful. So with any kind of wound, any kind of hurt, from childhood through adolescence, by the time you get into your young adulthood and you go out into the world filled with optimism, hope, and the fantasy that somehow or another you have the answers now, you've got it together, you're going to make a big splash, you're going to do something great, or you're going to have a great adventure, life is going to be good, and you're going to be independent and really find your own way, and then you hit the wall. Again, this wall has to do with the whole society, has to do with the world, has to do with laws and regulations, has to do with you being responsible, having to do with the possibility that you can make money and you not be paid, or that people could steal from you. No matter what you earn or how hard you work, it could be taken away from you. You hear terrible stories of people who are assaulted, people who are mugged, people who are end up in accidents and mess their bodies up and who cannot walk. And of course, by watching the evening news, especially the local news, you get to see some of the worst horror stories there are. You get to hear about how this drive-by shooting killed this wonderful high school student who was on the verge of great success, and you get to see the pain of his family and so on. You watch TV, movies, violence, tremendous violence. Well, you know that that is fantasy violence. It is deeply entrenched in your psyche that there are people with guns out there, mad men running loose. It doesn't help when you got someone who should be pretty straight and narrow, National Guardsmen going around and shooting and killing a whole bunch of people. People that you would never suspect. People going crazy. It could happen anywhere, anytime. As you get older, it is as if there is much more likelihood, actually, that you could suffer one of these things. Because it seems to happen to, if you look at the news, just about everybody eventually. So when is it going to be your turn? The odds are, the longer you live, the scarier it can be. Now, the dangers may differ. For a young woman, it might be rape. For a child, a boy child, it might be, or an adolescent might be beaten up. But when you get into adult, it may be a car accident. As you get older, it may be cancer. Ooh. And you don't know when it's going to hit. Because you may be more enlightened than this, but most people are bamboozled by the institutions that run your society. And standard medical practice says, oh, the cause of cancer is a tumor. But they don't explain where did the tumor come from and why. They don't know. You have to learn, if you are an alternative type person and do research, you find oh, that tumor comes because there is lymphatic congestion. And why is there lymphatic congestion? If there's a lot of too much acid in the body, not enough nutrition, not enough vitality. And why is there not that? Oh, going back deeper and deeper to find why. And then it starts to make sense. And then you're not so afraid anymore because you can take preventive measures. What most people think of as preventive measures to hedge their bets, so to speak, so that you can live longer, prosper more, stay healthy longer, requires that you do prevention. Prevent those diseases in the first place. Prevent that robbery by double locking, triple locking, quadruple locking your doors, windows. There's a sense of insecurity. You must protect yourself. You must defend yourself from what could be out there. And then on top of that, the people that you must come in contact with in your daily life can potentially be very negative, can be very destructive, very difficult people to deal with. If they're family members, you can't really sensibly stay away from them. You're kind of, by bloodline, stuck with them. You may care for them deeply, but have no idea how to deal with it. The negativity that comes to keep your attitude up, to keep your positive hope up, to keep yourself going, keep yourself excited and enthusiastic and happy and open and free. Sometimes it seems you have to protect and defend yourself from all the negative thinking that's out there, all the negative moods that infiltrate your society. So there's always this sense, if you pay attention to it, reinforced by the consensus thinking, for sure, that you are potentially under assault at any moment. Any moment something could go terribly, horribly wrong. At any moment, your life could turn around in a bad way. One moment, healthy and happy, the next moment, being rushed in an ambulance, mutilated, damaged for the rest of your life. All these fears are reinforced day in and day out by media, by people wanting to sell you something. Here, we got good alarm systems for your house. Here's alarm systems for your car. Here's protection for this, insurance for that. Selling you things so that you can, in a way, avoid anything horrific, terrible, to the best you can. But no matter how much you try, insurance policies are not going to cover. Not going to truly, down deep inside, make you feel safe. They're not going to cover you. They're not going to make you feel safe and secure. The only thing that makes a human being feel safe and secure is their trust in themselves, in the divine plan that they live by. There's a sense of hope and knowing that it is possible to change things, to heal things. It is possible, even more so, to experience some greater states of awareness, awakening, of personal health and vitality. And when you trust your divine plan, you can come to the awareness that if you hold your resonance in a certain place, high enough perhaps, radiant, loving, free, empowered, that if there is a terrible fire, a terrible earthquake, a great flood or tsunami, or a huge problem of violent, some kind of violent people running amok with machine guns, you're not going to be there. You're going to be someplace else. There comes a point where in your journey, you realize also that anything that comes to you, you can handle, that you can deal with, that you can grow from, that you can learn from. There comes a point where you understand the illusion of this reality is, in a sense, dependent upon your perception, the way you're functioning with your illusion, the way you relate to your reality. Most people relate to their reality, in a sense, as some great power that, like a parent is to a child, to a very small child, that somehow or another, I don't have power over what's out there. So I'm going to stay as aware as I can and dance as cleverly as I possibly can. When you get into the spiritual path, into metaphysics, and you begin to really develop yourself and understand your own power, your own strength, and your capacity for making decisions and choices that reflect who you more likely are, the spiritual being, you'll find that there is a sense that you can make some kind of difference. You can address stuff. You can respond better to things. And in so doing, they're not as damaging. They're not as scary. You have an awareness of how to deal with certain crises and challenges. This makes you feel a little bit safer. But still, you don't have control over everything. And you're trained in a linear system of thought that says, if you have control over everything, if you are in control, then you can keep bad things from happening to you. But what they never tell you is that control as a strategy never, ever works. Control is only for the fearful. As you get more and more spiritually aware, as you begin to step more and more into your power, you begin to realize that fear is a message. It's not necessarily a damaging crisis and challenge that's headed your way. And you can deal with something when you just have a fear. And if you can shift yourself out of your fear, most of the time what you fear will not need to happen. What you fear is not the same thing as psychically knowing, psychically being aware of the future. It comes to you differently in your psyche, in your intuition. It can feel quite differently once you learn how to distinguish it. And in this kind of middle range of metaphysics and spirituality development, you begin to pay attention to what you feel and how you feel and what you perceive and how you perceive it. Where do you get your messages? From what inner self? If you're not getting it from your a freaked out child who's always feeling insecure and powerless, if you're not getting it from your negative ego, who wants to bamboozle you and put a facade around you so that you're not in tune with things, to make you feel safe and reinforced and armored. If you don't get it from your slave driver, which is always urging you to be more because you're not enough, and to take all the precautions that you need to make sure and control your life sufficiently so that nothing bad can happen, you might actually have a chance to hear your actual intuition tell you what's true and what's not. Before you burn your hand on the stove, there may be a hint. Wait, you're going to burn your hand. Oh, then you burn your hand. Oh, you didn't have time to perhaps to respond, but you knew somehow it was going to happen. As an example. The thing is that your relationship with your reality has been that you have to figure it out. It has so much danger. You've got to take all sorts of steps to understand, to hedge your bets, to make sure everything is working right. You have to be perfect, damn it. So many people on the spiritual path get stuck in this whole perfection trap. You've got to have it all together. As a spiritual person, you've got to be nice all the time. You've got to be powerful all the time. You've got to be smart and make smart choices all the time. And if you can get really to that place where you are smart enough and spiritual enough and important enough and powerful enough and everything like that, then everything should work just fine. And that's another kind of spiritual orientation, you might say, with a spiritual spin on it, to just control freak. Don't buy into the perfection. Instead, have a different relationship with your reality. You're never going to be perfect, and you wouldn't want to be anyway. Perfection is very static. It's a static position. It has no creativity. It's based on what was. And is a judgment about what is the best way to be and do based on what has been. It doesn't work. Control doesn't work. Instead, have a living, breathing, dynamic, loving, kind, friendly relationship with your reality. After all, think about it this way. You and your crew, before you came into this lifetime, got together and created a whole plan. How this reality is going to manifest, what it's going to look like, who you want, what issues you want to work with in this lifetime, what you want to do, where you want to go. Spiritually speaking, it was your friend then. Why isn't it your friend now? When you get into reality manifestation, which is where most people who come into the spiritual path want to go. Well, heck, you know, I've read some books about how people dream this and that, and these wonderful things happen, and they won the lottery, or they got this wonderful thing, and they got the great job, or they got the whatever, the dream. I want it too. I want to manifest all that stuff. And so you got into manifestation techniques. You still did not see your reality as so much as your ally, but you were beginning to see that your reality was actually responding to you. You started to get feedback that your reality is indeed responding. When you change your attitude, your orientation, your beliefs, your feelings, your imagination, interesting, your reality starts shifting too. When you open to greater possibility, your reality shows you and brings you greater possibility. So the fantastic thing about it is that you begin to realize you and your reality are having this give and take, this interaction. It's time now to go to the next step. It's time to make reality truly your friend and partner, to work with it as it was originally intended. Now, in order to do that, you have to have some way to relate to your whole reality rather than just seeing it as some kind of huge environment that you somehow are this little piece of being in the midst of. First of all, start realizing that your reality only extends as far as you can reach, maybe. It's a screen. You're in the middle of a screen, an illusion screen. It's like a movie screen that's 360. Above, below, left and right, front and back, you're in a bubble. There's this fantastic movie going on in this bubble. Do you have any idea what's beyond the bubble? No. That's the extent of your reality. Yes, you have a perception, an illusion of distance. You have an illusion of time and space. And that's for your benefit. If you didn't have time, you couldn't do all the growth and learning and changing that you want to do. You're either enlightened or not. And space, if you didn't have space, what would you do without space? Where could you be? You'd be stuck in a pinpoint somewhere, in nothing. No parameters, no boundaries, no ideas about what are boundaries. Totally permeable by anything that seems to be happening along from wherever it's coming from. Indeed, you actually experienced some of this when you were an infant. When you were an infant, you did not see depth. You did not understand time. You needed tremendous amounts of help. You couldn't move your body very well. You know, your muscles are jerky. Oh, look at that. You know, my hand. At first you didn't even know it belonged to you, but somehow or another you were doing something with it, this thing. It took you a while to gestalt things, to realize that this is moving, there's a background, this is moving in front of the background is stationary. That's in the distance. This is the foreground, that's the background. Oh, wow, what a concept! Children are absolutely blown by this one. Of course, to you, it's all old hat. But now, you don't have to feel that limitation. You can recognize, look, I have this perception of distance and it serves me. I have this perception of time and it serves me. I have this perception of having this reality and it serves me. So, first of all, your world. What do you think about it? What's your feelings about your reality? About your society? About the world out there? Crazy stuff is happening. Oh, yes. Terrible stuff is happening. Oh, yeah. But you see, it's all in you. It's all part of the illusion. Why is it there? Why do people suffer? Why do I have problems with anything, like health or money or love or anything? Because you and your reality are putting together a growth experience for you because you wanted to grow. Now, this is not the same as saying you've got to learn your lessons. Oh, that just reeks of, you know, parent-child dynamics. It'll keep you stuck in child mode forever. No, you're not learning your lessons. That implies that there's some kind of teacher, you know, who's there to rap you on your knuckles if you don't do right. Reality doesn't do that. It doesn't punish you. No matter what you do, your reality will not punish you. You punish you. And you call your reality to manifest the punishment that you are thinking that you must have or deserve. So, of course, when you grow up, when you get spiritual, and you think you're going to program a reality, you're going to make something happen. You're going to program it. You're going to visualize it, damn it, and you're going to pump all sorts of energy in, and it's going to, damn it, it's going to happen. If you're poor, this programming can take the most fantastic kind of imaginations. Oh, yes, I'm going to win the lottery. Oh, yes, I'm going to be discovered by some extremely wealthy, prominent, powerful individuals. I'm going to be recognized. I'm going to be pulled up. I'm going to have someone love me, nurture me, mentor me. If it's a lack of love, same kind of thing. Somewhere, somebody is going to love me. I've got to go out there and seek them. I've got to go and grab on to whoever I can. One of these days, a fantastic person and I are just going to, our eyes are going to meet at the supermarket. And it will be love at first sight. I'll be swept off my feet. Now, we're not saying that miracles cannot occur. But very often, unless you have a really good working friendship relationship with your reality, there's no way you can manifest something from the child, adolescent, or young adult position that you imagine this from. You're not a great spiritual radiant light being imagining this stuff. You're an insecure adolescent or child or frustrated young adult who's finding the world just doesn't bow down and give him or her a total free access to everything desired. So here's how to work with your reality as a friend. Now, your reality, as we say, it is huge. It covers everything. It's everything that you see on your screen. All the time. With the illusion of depth, it's every car that drives down the highway, every other person that's in other cars when you're on the highway. Everybody who lives everywhere, all the illusion that all of this is there, it's only your illusion beyond your fingertips. In fact, even the fact that your fingertips move, that's an illusion too. It's you lining up by vibration, certain molecules just moving around to give the illusion of movement. There really is no movement. What a clever brain you've got. What a clever consciousness. You created this. Your reality is your servant, but also your partner and friend. In order to work with your reality as a friend, you must understand them as a personified being at first. Later on, you'll get to understand what the oneness is about and the way it functions exactly. But at least at first, think of your reality as a personified being. Might take on the persona of an old wizard, a gentle, fun, loving old wizard. If you think that life has been unfair to you, it might be difficult to envision a really friendly one. So you might, in that case, have to dismantle all the judgments you have about your society, about your world, about the evil that's out there, all the us versus them concepts. You may have to divest yourself of all of that so that you can open to the possibility that your reality can be not only friendly, but supportive, kind, loving, giving. Now, it wants to do that. It's not going to just give you everything you want with a snap of the finger. Hey, 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 reality, I want $1 million here right now. Where are you? I thought you were my friend. Oh, you know that's not going to work. Because you're to work together. It's not for you to order reality about. You came here to learn how to craft reality, to how to work with it. You wanted to come here and have a glorious experience in the adventure of life. Your reality knows how to work with it. It can teach you. But know this, every single piece of feedback that you get, everything that comes to you in your reality, is coming here to you with the kind intention to either remind you of where you have not taken your power, where you can grow. Hey, look at this. You can grow here. You can become more. You can step into a greater light, a greater freedom, a greater power here. You can find more love if you deal with this. So here's this issue that you've let yourself get snagged with over and over and over again. I'm going to give it to you again now in a slightly new way, you know, new person representing whoever it is that will betray you or hurt you or threaten you or challenge you or bring you bad news, to give you yet another opportunity to respond from your adult, from your spiritual adult self, from your awakened self. The problem is most of the time when this shows up, you go back into alarm mode, and where does that send you? It sends you back into a self you used to be. Your auric feels just shrimp trap back to whatever that favorite place is, that old, familiar, limited place. And then you respond from there. Beep, wrong. Your reality didn't give that to you just for you to go through more suffering. It said, no, this is an opportunity. Stay adult. Stay in your spiritual awareness. Stay in your power. Because when it comes to you and you stay in your power, you no longer need that kind of challenge anymore. You will no longer need that. You will no longer need that pain. So what is your challenge? We call it the commission of challenge. It's a favorite place where you have created snags and limitations and challenges so that you can grow. Everybody has their favorite focus. It can be money. A lot of people right now in this chaos in the economic situation on the planet and are really going through their financial challenges. But it can be any kind of challenge. In fact, you'll find that one of your chakras, the themes of one of your chakras, will indicate to you, you know, where your greatest challenge might be. Root chakra has to do with security, probably money, support. Second chakra will have to do with passion, motivation, a sense of purpose, a sense of self-image. As the gender person that you are, the age that you are, the identification that you have. Third chakra has to do with your gut level knowing. Do you know it or don't think you know it? Where do you give your power of knowing away? Where do you give your authority away to somebody else? Where do you give your will away to someone else? Fourth chakra has to do with love and attachment. Where are you attached? And therefore trying to control. Where are you shut down out of fear that you're going to be hurt? Your perception, your belief, that's dangerous to be intimate, dangerous to be open, dangerous to be vulnerable. Throat chakra, dangerous to express yourself, to speak your truth, to own your truth. And like the third chakra, where you give your will away to someone else, where you silence yourself to avoid conflict. So many times, you've avoided conflict by suppressing your own will, your own feelings, your own knowings. Eyebrow chakra is where you believe in your limitations, and then you project them into the future, and you make assumptions that everybody else has these too. So you create a whole false reality, and you live according to that false reality, thinking it's true. You bamboozle yourself. And the crown chakra. A crown chakra limitation is about receiving from the divine. The crown chakra is halfway in the physical and halfway out of the physical. It's halfway in the astral. Not a true physical chakra. But it has to do with life and nurturance. Receiving. Your connection to the divine. Most people have been trained, even if they're religious, to feel separate from the divine. Separate because they're either unworthy, or because if they're atheists or parents are atheists or whatever, the divine really isn't there. Or if they're scientists, quote-unquote, reality isn't really there. It's not going to love you personally. It's not you're not going to have any personal support from your divine. There's many, many new separations that you've made there. If you have a weak immune system, that's attachment and love. Do you love your life? Do you love you? You can find, if you know your commission or challenge, you can find what chakra it is. It's rather easy. Easy logic to find. Your reality personified will always keep sending you the opportunity to grow. Once you get a lesson, if you're going to call it a lesson, sometimes you think of that because it seems to be quite repetitive, as if you're like, duh, you're not getting it, so we got to send it to you again. It does feel like a lesson when you allow that to happen. Doesn't feel like a lot of fun. But even if you get it, even if you learn to stay in your spiritual adult, and you go through one or two or maybe even three times having the challenge, but you stay in your resonance, you keep your resonance up, you keep your light going, it'll dissolve. Your subconscious will say, it's automatic, I'm sending it to you automatic. Huh? You're not responding the old way. Are you sure you want this? Oh, okay, you do, because you keep consistently now responding from a greater place. So it's not of any use anymore. Your reality says, hey, subconscious, you don't have to do that anymore. Thanks. You did a good job. Now, what really bugs people is that when they really grow out of an issue, damn it if there isn't another issue that shows up. Is that an issue underneath or is it an issue above? When you grow, you always are going to find the octaves of your old issues. They may even appear similar to your old issues. But as you continue to grow with that capacity to stay in your spiritual adult resonance, you begin to realize your reality is actually supportive. People are much more open to you. People are much more willing to give to you. People are much more willing to be truthful with you. People are not going to scam you. People are not going to try to pull the rug out from under you. They're not going to try to hurt you. You start to realize they never really intended this all along. It was you and your reality saying, look, we really got to work with this one. And you chose it on some level that you need to get that issue cleared so that you can go on. And after a while, it starts to become fun and even intriguing as you meet with your reality personified. Now, yes, you can go to your reality personified and say, here's what I want. And your reality personified is going to ask you a few questions. They're going to say, well, why do you want it? Do you have an agenda? Is it clean? Is it a pure desire? Or is it that you want to impress somebody, or you just want to pay off your bills so that you can go and spend, splurge again and not be terribly responsible? Or is it that you want to have all of this so that you can stop worrying about money, for example, or stop worrying about love or trying to find it, or stop worrying about your health in order to avoid worry and fear? In that case, it's not pure. You're going to want something because you want it. No conditions in a sense. Yes, you may have detail about what you would really prefer. But if you have a clean desire, because it's going to give you joy, because it's going to be fun, because it's going to be exciting, there's a sense of light about it. It calls you. It's wondrous. And you want to explore it. You want to experience it. You don't have any agendas that it must fulfill because you're so willing to experience it, to be intimate with it, to be vulnerable with it. And the reality will say, cool, okay, can you hold this resonance now? And if you can hold the resonance, you'll get it in some form, maybe not exactly the way you imagined it. Your reality will go and get all your friends working on the other side and get everything rolled up and lined up and get your ducks lined up in a row, boom, 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 and you'll have some juicy manifestations. So, think about what it is you want. Think about something for now that you have been wanting or that you want. And give yourself the quiz. Is there any hidden agenda in it? Other than the joy of it, the fun of it, the adventure of it, the experience of it. With you being this glorious, radiant, adult, spiritual, light being. Is it your adolescent that wants to be safe from humiliation? Or is it your child who wants to be safe? Your young adult who wants to be safe. If you notice, a lot of times they want to be safe. If you can let that go and step into your radiant self, you'll be amazed to find that you will start to feel safe. You will start to trust. It's really you. This whole world is here for you. And as you shift and change you, you'll find the shifting and changing going on in the world out there. If you notice, the world out there is going through the dark chaos. A few have entered the light chaos. But most are in the dark chaos, a time of dismantling, a destruction perhaps. Most people think that in order to let go of something, you've got to destroy it. So much letting go, so much getting released. Detoxed, so to speak. We're going to talk in the future, short future from here, on that dark chaos specifically. But for now, just know that that dark chaos is the way you are triggering you to break down structures, limitations, boundaries, barriers, and all sorts of hedging and armoring and so on that you use to limit yourself, to reinforce fear. When you let go of your own fear, you can help heal others in the world. You can spread your safety. You can spread your trust energy into your world and watch it begin to change. So think of it, what you desire, and think, is it clean? Is it pure? And later on, we're going to take you through a journey, a delightful journey of meeting with your personified reality. Don't imagine in advance what it's going to look like or be like. Let yourself open to the experience in the moment. So with that, in that little thought planted in your head, let us turn our attention to questions. Daniel has the microphone, and who's to begin?
Good evening, Alexis.
Hello.
Hi. I wanted to ask a question, and this is an area I kind of get tripped up in, where I'm beginning now to be able to recognize a lot of the time the child, the teen, the young adult reacting when I'm afraid or worried about money or whatever it is, and then responding as the spiritually mature adult. Sometimes I guess I don't quite feel what that fully entails. And so I try to do that, and then a moment later I kind of go back to the familiar, to the kid or the teen or whatever, and then I go, no, this isn't the choice I want to make. I want to stay at the broader self.
Yes.
And I make that choice, but it's still, it's kind of foreign territory, and so I don't really feel any power with that. Then a moment later I go back to the teen again, or, you know, go back into my little whatever I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to ask you this responding ability that the mature spiritual adult has, this broadness. How would the spiritual adult respond to some of these issues, poverty or despair or whatever is going on in a person's life?
All right. Recognize that the spiritual adult, the light, radiant light being, is a state of being. It's not as defined a persona, because it's ever expanding. It's not a defined persona like the adolescent. It's not defined by the past at all. It's only defined by the future. Therefore, you don't really know the boundaries or the extent of it. All you need to know is what we're talking to you about this evening, is to know that reality is your friend, that everything that you face, no matter how scary, how intimidating, how devastating, how destructive it appears to be on the surface, is something, number one, you can handle. You can. You can be loving with yourself in this case. You can be free as a human being. You can make powerful choices. You can honor who you are. And just to have a sense of that. Secondly, to know that the divine is everywhere. There's no place where the divine is not. There's no place where magic is not. There's no place where the possibilities of miracles is not. Just by remembering these two things, if you can kind of red flag it, trigger it, you have stepped into a broader perspective. Yes, you may then go back to an old familiar, but you see, it's not something that you step in once and it's instantly there, because you do have your old patterns. But it's really good that you, in a sense, you see that you can go back, you can step forward again, you can go back. But the idea here is that when you step back into your empowered self, you are not feeling your power. So you may have to do power, return to me. Remember that one? Mm-hmm. Right. You may have to say it and say it. That's in a way to say it until you believe it. It's the power you gave away. It's your power. All the power on the planet is your power. You gave it away to various people to play roles and to participate with you in your illusion. But you can take your power back from anybody. You can take your power back from the U.S. government. You can take your power back from, Muammar Gaddafi. You can take your power back from anybody, and from some petty tyrant that you meet in your day-to-day life. You can take your power back from money. You can take it back from abstract things. You can take your power back from a sense of, you can take your power back from shame, from wounding. You can take your power back from anything, anybody. But you see, what you revealed in your question is that you don't feel powerful. And so you're, in a sense, you step into a greater self, but you don't own that because you're not owning your power. You're not owning that it's all your power. You're essentially saying, okay, I'm trying this in hopes that this will work. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're trying and pretending in hope that it works, where are you already? That's kind of child and adolescent anyway. Let's pretend. Let's put on a facade. And that's it's a good place to start, but you don't continue there. You have to realize, wait a minute, I'm missing something, and this is what you realized. I'm missing my power. Okay, so I've got to practice taking my power back and taking my power back and feeling what it's like to be a powerful person. Because once you get that you're a powerful person, once you can feel that power, you will start to say, well, you know, I'm the authority on my life. This all belongs to me. And if I'm having financial problems and I'm in my powerful self, I know I'll be able to deal with the wretchedness or the suffering or whatever it is much better. At first, you may not be able to turn the physical plane around. That requires sustaining your resonance. You know, it said in the old Persian saints said, if you think of nothing but God for 3 days, God has to come and appear to you and take you. Has to come and be present with you, love you, hold you. You have to. But who can think of God uninterruptedly for more than a minute? Right? So it's always seemed to be, oh, well, that's an impossible task. You know, there are people who are sitting meditating in India, you know, for decades. Even they get tired of doing that and they go smoke some ganja, you know. And then they go preach to somebody while they're nice and high. Then they go back and meditate some more. We're not saying that's bad, but the thing is that they're not able to stay there either. The monkey mind does not let you stay there. So the only way you're going to be able to hold your resonance long enough to effectively change your physical plane reality is that you have to have some will, you have to practice. You can actually stay in your power more often than not after a while, but it takes practice. And then when these things happen, when the crisis shows up, the crisis in your bank account, for example, shows up, then you hold your power and you hold your resonance. And you say, okay, now, me as a regular person, what do I have to do physically about this? In the past, you would do your physical acts, your physical responses, but from maybe your adolescent place. Instead, do the same physical responses, which may seem not to be what you really want to do, but do it from your empowered self. And feel how different it feels to do the same old stuff. It's not about physical actions as much as it is about the state of being. It's when you are in the state of being, no matter how desperate you are, no matter how bad the circumstances, you go through one round, maybe two rounds, three rounds tops, if you can sustain that sense of power, you'll be amazed. Then it will change. It will shift. It cannot stay the same. It just can't. It's like, okay, says your reality, a friendly, supportive, loving reality. Okay, you got it. I don't need to send it to you anymore. You got your power. You got your love of yourself. Okay, release. And you'll start to have a changed reality. Now you'll go along real good there. For a while, all sorts of magic will open up. All sorts of miracles will open up. You have to continue expanding your sense of power. You're expanding your sense of self as that happens. Because you have an image that's connected, for example, to a low level of financial return. And so as you start getting the miracles and magic coming in and more money starts to come in, you have to expand your image and your identity as someone for whom more money is natural to you. As we say, there's no end to your growth, no end to your discovery, to the adventure. But once you get it and once you're able to keep expanding and keep expanding and keep expanding, you'll find you're not losing it. It's not dropping back down to previous levels. It's continuously to go up, then higher, then it comes back down a little bit, but it doesn't go all the way back down. And then it goes even higher, and then it comes back. You'll find that you're stair-stepping, in a sense, up. And you can get yourself out of pretty much any hole by doing this. And it goes as fast as it takes for you to hold the resonance with your will. But it's will and choice and practice. No, you don't have to sit and close your eyes and meditate. No, this is applied stuff. This is you and your reality working together. And you could talk to your reality and say, yeah, thank you, I see that. I see this is a place where I just generally have lost my power in the past and gone back into adolescence and really blown it and so on. And so now, you know, be with me, help me. I'm going to even get a pad and pen. I'm going to try and figure out, okay, on this, how would the adult who knows that they're powerful, how would they feel? This is a feeling, the intangible part, the feeling, the beliefs, the imagination that they would have, that my adult self would have as they go about doing what I need to do now, even in this critical situation, even in this place of difficulty. Maybe the exact same actions, but a different state of being. And then you get it. And after a while, it's intriguing. It's not so terrifying. You don't feel afraid. In a sense, you feel better. Because if you're powerful, you're doing something about it. You're not hopeless. It's not helpless. You're doing something about it. Even if it's not physical doing. Most people think that's the only doing that counts. No, it's the intangible doing that counts. Does that make sense to you?
By intangible doing, you sort of mean feeling or being.
All right, being in the state.
Right, okay.
If you're in the state of someone who is more powerful, free, and so on, for someone who's experiencing that physical reality, your reality will lift to the place that you resonate with. You see? And that's why to get yourself out of a deep hole, you have to resonate to somebody who's not in the hole. You have to lift your resonance. You are actually, by your very nature, resonant to have every bit of money, love, success, health, etc., that's possible. Infinitely possible. You have you can do it all, but it's your self-image that holds you down. It's the old traps of the past, and that's what you're breaking. You may still do the actions once, twice, maybe three times, but after that, you won't even have to do those same actions anymore. You know, go to the credit bureau, do this, get advance on your check or whatever. You won't have to do any of that stuff. But when you do it, you know, if you do it now, if this is the way it is, and you do it now, you do all those things that you must have to do, but you do it as a radiant, powerful light being, knowing, hey, you know, I'm learning how to be powerful even in this circumstance. Because in the past, you would have judged yourself. You would have felt weak. You would have felt, oh my gosh, I'm falling behind again. What's wrong with me? Blah, 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 blah. And you could have gone into self-pity. But instead, you say, I'm a powerful reality creator, and I'm going through this weird, quirky adventure called, you know, financial crisis. I'm going through this illusion. And somehow or another, if I hold my resonance, I can get to the other side of it. I'll do what I have to do, but I will do it. And I will do it as a powerful person. I will not do it as a person who's going around with their tail between their legs and like, oh, please, 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 God, send me some money. We're using money as an example because you suggested that. But that can be done, applied in any area. You understand that?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That's the intangible. The intangible comes before the tangible. Always remember that. The inner shifts, changes, powering, you know, loving, freeing of yourself comes before the external reality will respond to it. The external reality, your reality, your personified reality, your friend, will not take you seriously if you have a brief flash of it and they give you that and then you go back to being an adolescent. I said, like, wait a minute, you know, you manipulated me into giving you this stuff. We're going to have to send it to you again, you know. But after a while, they'll say, oh, you really are serious? You're willing? You're ready? Okay, let's go for it. Let's go to the next level now. You see?
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. And thank you for that question. We always appreciate people who are willing to be on the hot seat.
Hi, Glexus.
Hello.
I have a deep-seated feeling that I'm not lovable. So how do I make friends with that, with what you just said?
All right.
Okay.
You have reasons why you don't think you're lovable. And you've gone through all of them ad nauseum, right? Oh, gosh, I feel like I'm not lovable because I failed there. I didn't do it good enough here because I don't feel like I'm really worthy here. And somehow, you know, it's scary. I feel like if I get too intimate, something bad's going to happen. Because what happened way back when I was like 18, you know, all that kind of stuff. You've done that, okay? What's remaining now is you to say, well, what would it be like if I really felt I was lovable? What if I could just love myself for no particular reason? See, you always found all the reasons why you somehow or another got caught into a trap of feeling unlovable or not lovable enough. But have you ever thought that it has nothing to do with any results? You see, that's the trap that all of you are raised in. The trap that you must earn your love, not receive it. Love is something that's given and received. It's never earned. It's never deserved by earning. It's never deserved by doing anything. So, essentially, as long as you think there's a doing element in it, in your subconscious mind, you may not even be consciously aware of it, you will continue somehow or another not to feel lovable enough. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Until you get that you are by virtue of the fact that you just simply are.